Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news and stuff. You know, when the world feels like it's caving in around you, and maybe you feel like that today, there's nothing you can do to change your circumstances? Really? Let me ask you this. Where do you find your strength and your hope in times like this? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul tells us this, that he was being burdened excessively, in fact, beyond his strength. So we despaired even of life. That is 1 Corinthians 1:8. Whatever he was facing, the thought of impending death somehow was on his mind. Yet his hope didn't rest in human ability. Oh no, the person he turned to was the only one who could administer peace to his heart, and the truth is, it was in his mind. So much of the battle we go through today, and it's certainly about our book coming up, it's all about the mind. Even though he despaired, he didn't give up, he didn't give in to those fears, and you shouldn't either. It was to Jesus Christ that he ran, in verse 10 here. Christ, on whom we have set our hope, he will yet deliver us. Do you believe that? From the world's perspective, there are many places you can go and find comfort today. But there's only one place you're going to find a hand to catch your tears and a heart to listen to your every longing, beloved. True peace only comes from Almighty God. Nothing is so great that God is not greater still than that thing. Is there an urgency in your heart today? Something that merely threatens your emotional well-being as well as your ability to perform life overall? Then you need to take it to Jesus Christ. You need to run to him today. He is your solid, unshakable source of strength in this cruel and hurtful times. He is one who is faithful. He is one who is true. Well, we had the men's prayer breakfast this morning, and we talked about this, packing the Supreme Court. Is there anything these people are not going to do? They've already turned your world totally upside down, and I think now they're trying to just totally bury you. Yep. The Republicans are rebelling, and they should. Democrats are proposing to pack the Supreme Court. Let's increase it from 9 justices to 14. Those on the right, the conservative voices in America, say it is an assault on the judicial independence of America, and, well, it's the new America, and it is a flood of evil. But they also predicted that this move would prove unpopular and help Republicans in the midterm elections. Do you think that's true? Democrats launching a full assault on the independence of the federal judiciary. Will Republicans stop them? That is the question. And oftentimes I say, hey, this is not a problem. No matter what it is in your life, it's not a problem. You need to look at it in a positive way. It's an opportunity. And many say this is a fantastic gift. This is a fantastic turn of events that's going to backfire on the left. Oh, I pray that's so. How about you? I just look at this country, our lives, what has happened in just a few months. Good grief! President Biden this morning signed an executive order declaring it's a national emergency. Now, what do you think a national emergency is about? It's over the threat of Russia. His administration has slapped new sanctions on that country. The U.S. Department of State said it's expelling 10 officials from the Russian bilateral mission. Today, we announced actions to hold the Russian government accountable for the SolarWinds intrusion, reports of bounties on our U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, and attempts to interfere in the 2020 U.S. elections. I don't get a lot of this. How about you? Really, this group is in power, so that group is crying. Then that group's in power, and this group is crying, and it's politics in America. What's that thing called? The Civil Rights Division? The Civil Rights Division of the Biden Justice Department has announced that there's going to be not a single charge brought against the man who shot and killed that American protester, Ashley Babbitt, in the Capitol in January. No one who pays attention to any of this kind of stuff is surprised at all. In cases like this, the benefit of doubt usually does go to law enforcement. And as we've often said, we're fine with that, aren't we? I'm behind the police. How about you? It should. But still, in a free society, the rest of us have a right to know, kind of get an idea of what really happened. In this case, who shot this woman and why did they shoot her? Nobody is talking. The Biden administration says the man who killed Babbitt is a Capitol Hill police officer, and he did the right thing at the right time. That's all they said. End of story. There's no evidence the officer who shot this woman gave any kind of verbal warning before he pulled the trigger. Do you think that there is a stupid question here. There's a double standard in America. The heat's on. A Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, their committee learned yesterday of a seventh woman now who developed a rare and severe type of blood clot after she got the Johnson & Johnson pandemic vaccine, and an additional incident involving a man which occurred during a clinical trial but could not be linked to the jab at that time. The seventh case brought to the committee's attention did not occur in the brain as in the other six, sparking further questions about what evidence this committee really needs to consider now. Got your vaccine yet? Well, I kind of wonder what it must have been like for that female cop in Minneapolis. Kim Porter got up morning to do her regular job, things going well, 26 years on the force. In a matter of seconds, she's considered herself a criminal. Heightened security measures remain in place at that suburban Minnesota home of former Brooklyn Center police officer Kimberly Potter, ahead of her first court appearance today. Potter, on the force of 26 years, headed the local police union, charged Wednesday with second-degree manslaughter in the fatal shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright. You kind of wonder sometimes why would a person want to be a cop in the new America? My, oh, my. More news and stuff right after this. Well, you might think so. In my recent reading and research and writing, many times we view strength in light of power. The strongest man, we had him, by the way, at our church once, the strongest man in the world wins the weightlifting contest. The football player trains the hardest. He makes the starting team. Yet for you and I, the believer, there is an even greater strength to be found. It's not one of might, power, but human willpower. One that is discovered in humility and submission to Almighty God. The world often scoffs at that person who refuses to rise up in human strength and, "You take control, we got this." Sometimes they'll laugh and say, "He's weak." Yeah, he is. But from God's perspective, there's power in weakness. The Apostle Paul wrote it, didn't he? "When I'm weak, I'm strong." 2 Corinthians 12:10. When you feel frozen in feelings of inadequacy, and we all do, Jesus is your strength. Peter told the early church to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God that Christ might exalt them at the proper time. 1 Peter 5:6. No matter who you are today, you're listening, you're going to come to a point in your life when you face something that is greater than your ability to handle it. And this is when you need to move beyond yourself and into the loving arms of Jesus. Do it today. Don't like these stats. Like to think that there's a normalcy in America, in my Christian faith, that my neighbor is a Christian, and I don't think so. A new study by longtime evangelical Christian researcher George Barna. If you haven't heard of him, you haven't been around long. He found out that 94% of Americans do not hold a biblical worldview. Well, that's awful. The study found that the most common worldview among Americans, 88%, might be termed syncretism. You ever heard of that? Describing it as a disparate, irreconcilable collection of beliefs and behaviors that define how a person lives his life. Well, that's new. That even sounds a bit confusing, doesn't it? Barna's American Worldview Inventory came out with this report. Not good. The 2021 edition is the first of its kind to measure, well, seven prominent worldviews: biblical theism, secular humanism, postmodernism, moralistic therapeutic deism. I'm getting confused just mentioning the names here. Nihilism, Eastern mysticism, and Marxism, along with its offshoot of critical race theory. I think I need to go back to school. Barna found that no single worldview is embraced by a significant percentage of those living in America. Syncretism is a cut-and-paste approach to making sense of your life rather than developing an internally consistent and philosophical coherent perspective. Americans embrace points of view or action that feel comfortable and most convenient to them now. What's important now? Those beliefs and behaviors are often inconsistent or even contradictory most of the time. But few Americans are troubled with that anymore. Isn't that something? The more you get away from God, everything makes sense. I think that's what they're saying here. And a stunning number of us, Americans, don't hold a biblical view. Really? 94%? I said it before, I think I have to laugh so that I don't cry. I think that's a tactic the Republicans, conservatives are using in America. They are mocking AWOL Vice President Kamala Harris. How are they doing that? It's the highlight this week. There she is on the fake milk carton. Just a big jab. The picture of the vice president with the caption, "Have you seen me?" No one else has. She's supposed to be in charge of our border. Nowhere to be found. 21 days now, unseen, unheard. Yet she's going to go to, what, Guatemala? The Philippines, other areas? We want to give you money to keep your people here. Talk about confusion in the new America. Just one more part of this messed up puzzle. Further sign of the times, Mike overdosed 3 times in December. Dateline San Francisco, a longtime heroin user. He said he didn't know his limit after switching to fentanyl. That's a powerful synthetic opioid. It just hits you like a punch and much harder. Sitting on the sidewalk not far from the tent where he sleeps. The scourge of the East Coast is now the scourge of the West Coast. It's traveled across America. Fentanyl, the new drug in America. A flood of evil. Well, it was different yesterday. First day out with the no mask ruling here in the state of Indiana. Went to the big box lumber outlet and got some flowers and then over to the dollar store. And people still look at you a little weird like, where is your mask? Not going to do it. Not going to wear it. Okay, let's just wrap this up. Well, this is going to cause some problems. The word is out, my friend, about dogs and cats, whether you own one or you don't own anything. Usually they say you're happier if you have a pet, but it's not so, according to a new survey. Nope, no real difference. However, if you own a dog or own a cat, which one is happier, the cat owner or the dog owner? Okay, you have 2 seconds to make your decision. They say there's no contest. Dog owners are much happier than cat owners. Well, what are you going to say? Well, my Jax will be sided with this news. Meanwhile, we can't find the cat anywhere. Life 101, where's my Bible? Right after this. Okay, were you in church last night?
What was the message? What did you get out of the word? Love church. I can't imagine life without the local ministry, the fellowship, the ministry of the word, all the things that happen
in your church when it meets.
Do it, my friend. Grab a friend, grab the family, grab someone. Go to church on Sunday morning. I want to thank all of you that support this ministry. Greg Patton Ministries and the program called Hello World, we thank you for your prayers and checking us out on Facebook, your financial support. Oh, Facebook, by the way, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Thanks so much for just being there.
So if somebody asks you about your Christian walk or how church is or how things are going overall, do not say this.
Just okay is not okay. And I got to thinking, but that would work for you and me, Christian. You ask some people, I do all the time, how you doing? You'll get that, oh, I'm okay. That's not good. You want to kick it up a few notches above just okay. One department we could work on is this area of love. One pastor said this, and I think he was quoting, this has been around a long time, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it was and always will be yours. If it never returns, it was never yours to begin with. Then he goes on to say, if it just sits in your living room, messes up your stuff, eats your food, uses your utilities, takes your money, drives your car, and never behaves as if it actually was set free in the first place, you either married it or gave birth to it. Love, love, love. What the world needs now is, you know how that, love, sweet love. I don't think we're talking about a Bible love here. Got a message from some guy. I don't know how we got together on Facebook. Allegedly, I asked to be his friend, which I've never done. I ask you to be my friend here on the radio, but to inquire and say, will you be my friend? I don't know. Anyway, and he said yes, and the next thing I know, he is just ripping me apart. He said that I am a hater, that I am a racist. You know, most Christians get that if you speak out at all, because you're trying to right years and years and years of wrongs and just make some oh, yeah, you're a definite hater. Yep. In Romans 12, 9 and 10, the Bible says that love must be sincere. And it also says basically four things here. You are to hate what is evil. You are to cling to what is good. Okay. You're to be devoted one to another in brotherly love. You're a Christian listening now. I'm to be devoted to you. And the one that's really hard for most people, about 99% have trouble with this one. You are to honor one another above yourselves. Are we doing that? This sounds like how brotherly love is supposed to work, don't you think? Are you devoted to any brother or sister in Jesus Christ? Do you really honor them above yourself? Seriously. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason I am sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church. Now, here's some common sense. Just think about that. It is easy to love a faithful brother or sister in Christ, is it not? It's easier to love a faithful brother, oh yeah, than one that is unfaithful. And hey, I've got people that are just contacting me all the time, seeing what they can do for me. Have one brother who just bought me a car, and someone who says, you have any needs, and hands me his piggy bank, does that about every month, and there's $80 to $150 in it, usually. Gee, it's easy to love someone like that. But then there are people who are always giving me trouble, it seems like. What about those people? Let me ask you this. Can I make you, let's say we're friends, I'm there with you. Can I make you, force you to love me? That's just a silly question, is it not? I'm demanding you to love me. How's that go? Coercion generally doesn't work very well with some people, but when it comes to the command of Almighty God to love one another, it has some motivation. So I can tell you to love me, and it goes nowhere. God commands you. Did you know that? God commands you to love me.
Look at the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35.
A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must. Key word, M-U-S-T. Operative word, M-U-S-T. You must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another as I have loved you. Have you heard the story about Benjamin Franklin? He wanted the people of Philadelphia to adopt street lighting. He didn't try to persuade them by talking about it. Instead, he did this. He hung a beautiful lit lantern on a long bracket in front of his own door. Then he kept the glass brightly polished and carefully hung it every night as dusk approached. People wandering about on a dark street saw Franklin's light a long way off and came under the influence of its friendly glow with a grateful heart. To each one it seemed to say, come along, my friend. Here is a safe place for you to walk. See that cobblestone sticking out? Don't stumble over it there. I shall be here to help you again tomorrow night, if you should come this way. Oh, I love this story. It wasn't long before Franklin's neighbors began placing lights and brackets before their homes, and soon the entire city awoke to the value of street lighting and took up the matter with interest and enthusiasm. Point, example, is always a strong motivation for doing the right thing in life, and the Lord gives us the best example of all, does he not? The scripture says that whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Well, this is a challenging scripture, is it not? Why? Well, because how can anyone fully describe our God who is love? John is clear. If you don't love, then you don't know God, because God is love. And when I say he is the creator of love, that in itself is a poor way of saying it, because God is more than, well, just the creator of true love. Have you ever heard of Art Linkletter? Some of you older will recall that. And do you know what he's most famous for? He had a kids program. Yeah, he interviewed kids. He wrote a book, part of that. Kids Say the Darndest Things. How about seeing the world through the eyes of God? Dear God, is Reverend Patton a friend of yours, or do you just know him through business? Signed, Donnie. Dear God, do you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm going to fix my brother. Darla. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Joyce. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love everybody in the world. There's only 4 people in our family, and I can't do it. Yep, some examples of child's view of God. So let me ask you, what is your view? What is your picture of God? What is God like in your heart, in your mind? Is he a mean judge? Is he a weak old man? Is he a compromising person? Or is he a loving father? What is he? Someone wrote these interesting words about God. Among the first glimpses that we get of him, God our Creator, is that of being a seeker. Adam, where art thou? Genesis 3:9. In commenting on this question to his Bible class, a teacher said, "You can never be a preacher if you read it as though God were some sort of a policeman. You have to read it as though God were a broken-hearted father looking for a lost child." Tomorrow we're going to pick up on the prodigal son and continue on with this thing of love. Brotherly love. Do I have it for you? Do I esteem you better than myself, lifting you higher than myself? It is indeed a challenge, isn't it, my Christian friend?
And finally, I guess this could be the new America. One day there, the entrance of heaven, there's St. Peter. He saw this bad group of street guys coming from New York, walking up to the pearly gates. This was certainly a first for St. Peter. He ran to God and said, "God, there's some really evil, thieving-looking New Yorkers standing at the pearly gates. What do I do?" God replied, "You have to do what you normally do. Tell them they have come to the wrong place." So Peter went back to carry out the order, and he comes running back to God. "God, God, they're all gone." "Who? The bad New Yorkers?" "No, the pearly gates." I'm always double-checking things at church. No, I'm not. You've been listening to Hello World. News and stuff every day at this time, Monday through Friday. The listenership grows and grows and grows, and we are grateful to you. Join me as a friend on Facebook. I love it. Greg Patton, God bless. Good day.